handle it because
the views expressed and the opinions given by the individual
hosts
and their guests
do not
necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening.
Hey there.
Para X. Oh my lord. It is definitely Monday and it's almost like PTSD, Dave.
Cause it is.
In the last minute and a half, I've already made two errors.
That's it?
Only That's two? It.
Wow.
Well, you know, it was only 90 seconds. So, and yeah. So, coming up on Monday. Or since it's, what is it outside, Dave? Like still
right now,
30 degrees.
Yeah, it's like a balmy 28, probably. A little windy. Wind out of the looks like it's out of the northwest.
January 94th is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep.
Great.
52. So, 52 on Thursday though, baby. 52 Thursday, and then 30 in snow on Saturday. The legacy continues. Minnesota is not letting go of its winter.
Wow. Just wow.
I know. I said so, the same.
Instead of getting all depressed, we're going to get happy.
We are.
And we are going to introduce our wonderful guests today. They are Carol Cleveland and Ty Gowan from the hit web series Haunt Me. Carol. I know. But I was going to introduce you again, and that really wasn't needed. So
I think you're doing welcome. Great. Just keep going.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
He's on a roll.
Yeah. When I get on a roll, it's pretty hilarious. So I'm going to shut up here and try to make you guys talk.
No, please don't. I'm enjoying this.
We're not like regular radio shows, so you're not going to hear professionalism or anything like that.
Well,
so
no. Wait a minute. Occasionally there is some professionalism that sneaks in. All right, don't be discrediting the professionalism because it's not rampant, but it does sneak in.
I did but. For the a lot of people listening can't see it, but he did do professionalism in air quotes. So that makes me a little trepidatious to see what's about to roll out tonight.
I was just going to say, if there is any professionalism, it's completely by accident, I assure you.
I'm ready for any and all accidents for the next hour.
Awesome. I like it. Because I think you especially are really going to enjoy what we have for you tonight. That's little foreshadowing, I guess you could call it.
I would really say foreshadowing. Yeah,
that's foreshadowing.
What is coming our way? I don't know. This could be
No. Carol's fine. Carol, fine.
Yes.
So basically what we like to do with our guests to start off with is just get kind of a brief history of what brought them into the paranormal field. So if you guys, ladies first, Carol.
What brought me into the field?
Yeah, how did you do you start, girl?
Basically, I think it was a subconscious thing. I had a bunch of paranormal experiences my whole life since I would say between the ages of 2 and 4 is when it started. And it took me until I was in my mid-20s to realize that it was probably ET related. But looking back, I think I joined ghost hunting groups to try to solve my own answers. Find answers to solve my own questions, I should say. But I don't know. It was a really confusing time, but I'm glad I did it because so many dots connected for me. And now, unfortunately, I have more questions.
Well, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
how many paranormal groups have you been a part of before you joined
the Haunt Me team? Just one before Haunt Me, but Haunt Me and the one before it were pretty much the most organized ones I'd been in.
Nice. Organization is really important.
It's huge. Yeah.
Our first group had an acronym, so that's how you know it's real.
Well, yeah, for whatever reason, it's probably TAPS's fault. Since everybody knows him as TAPS, not the Atlantic Paranormal Society. But everybody seems to want the acronym.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And if you can't get your acronym, like, are you really a ghost hunter?
mine is OPS. It really almost isn't an acronym. It's just, I don't know. Would you say it's an acronym or just... Dave?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, a lot of people say OPS. They don't say Odyssey Paranormal Society. I mean, they say OPS.
I don't know. I've never been comfortable with that.
What? Just with the OPS?
OPS.
OPS sounds cool.
I like it.
Yeah, OPS sounds cooler than some. No,
we're supposed to be sucking up to you, not the other way.
Oh, all right. Okay. Then.
Take a step back. Okay.
All right. Ty, what about you?
So I have the exact opposite of experience from Carol, where she has the standard trying to having some paranormal experiences and trying to find the truth behind them. I have the lonely kid watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer and wanted more out of life. that's my intro story. So where I am, I watched a lot of fantasy growing up. I had some experiences that I couldn't understand and had to shy away from, but when it was time for me to learn a little bit more and I had that opportunity, I kind of eased into it during my college years, had more experiences happen to me, and then when I graduated school, I graduated early because I thought that would be a good idea, but I ended up having no friend. Ew.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Don't you move.
I'm telling you, did Lindsay tell you to do this? No one else.
Yes, she did.
No one else can appreciate this right now. I am logging off. Carol, you take the interview from here on out.
Oh.
Is it frozen? If it's
I'm like beyond excited.
I think his feed froze and he deserves that. It did. It died out.
He froze, yeah.
That's perfect.
Oh my God.
It can stay frozen.
Yeah.
That's terrible for even that.
All right, I'm back. You know what's amazing is that it unfroze as soon as I turn that off.
Yeah. I've got weird magic working around me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, either that or your webcam really does not like the color saturation of the clown mask. One of the
Really does.
That might be it.
Yeah, it destroyed it.
God.
I'm really glad that I'm back. You get a lot out of that.
Now that I'm back, I'm going to put it back on. Let's see.
He's just going to sit like that the rest of the night.
There you go. There goes the rest of my answers.
I'm going to have nightmares now.
I started ghost hunting once. There we go. My origin story.
There it is. It's over. So should we dive right into the obvious here? Like, what is it about clowns that makes you very uncomfortable?
I guess the thing is that I don't know. So until I figure it out, it's gonna keep on rolling. It's Not even just like, clowns. It's like mascots, anything that I can't.
Mascots, right?
Mascots.
Flip the F out. There's a picture of me at SeaWorld when I was like 4 screaming, and my mom still has it up on the mantle. Shamu was giving me a hug, and I can remember the smell of that sweaty felt. It was disgusting.
Oh, my God. Well, there's the trauma.
it's like something if you can't see, if you can't visually see like the eyes of the. Person that you're engaged with, you kind of like get uncomfortable, obviously.
That's the closest I've ever been able to get it. But I love Halloween, and here's the twist. I like seeing that mask for whatever reason. It's not so bad on webcam. If it was in real life, I'd bowl someone over to get out of the room.
yeah, you would.
It's just the I'll divert. The best prank anyone has ever pulled on me. I was with some friends in New Jersey. And it was my last night there. A bunch of us went out to dinner to like do my send off, but one of my really good friends couldn't make it. So we're going to stop by her house after because she was feeling under the weather. I can't even describe how well this prank went off because I can appreciate a good one. She had spent 3 months before my arrival researching John Wayne Gacy to make sure that her costume was as accurate as possible.
Oh, that's bad.
Her friends all told her to make sure that I had an exit point because I don't think. And so what happened, and it was fantastic. She was watching the Flyers game in a recliner that was facing, the back was facing me, and I had to walk all the way down the long hallway into the living room yelling her name, and she wouldn't turn around. And then I got there and she spun and just said, "Hello, Tyler." The next thing I remember is being outside in the cul-de-sac running laps to get rid of the adrenaline. But there's a video somewhere of me launching, vaulting over two people to get out of the room. And so that's my little story.
Well,
there.
That guy in the Jeep came up on us.
Yeah, there you go. You can tell that story.
Well, we were coming back from Waverly, was it? I don't remember, but we were on a road trip and we were having lunch and we were going to leave the place. And there were two lanes. You could go left. You could go right. We were going to go left. And a Jeep pulled up. And it was July, wasn't it?
Yeah, in 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was. It was early. I mean, it was an early lunch. But either way, it was early. This guy had the full paint, nose, wig. You could see he was dressed. He just pulls up right next to us. Ty's like, "Go, go, go. I don't care." Screaming at everyone in the van. Yeah, he was...
No one would move.
He's freaking out. That's the first time I'd seen him freak out like that.
His van got really small all of a sudden. Very, very small and slow.
It was probably like an early birthday party that morning.
Yeah. Probably. Like he probably was just
pulled up to the wrong person, though.
Yeah. Perfectly nice guy trying to go get coffee, but F him and his children. So.
No wonder. When this was all scheduled with Lindsay, she's like, "Now Ty really hates clowns. You should have a lot of fun with that." And and so I was like, "Well, how about I buy a clown mask and I wear it on the show, you know, and surprise him with it." And she's like, "That's perfect." And she's like, "Do that." So this is all her fault.
Well, she's Maleficent incarnate, so I'm not even slightly surprised.
Well, I think she revels in that.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised that I haven't gotten a text message yet. I'm waiting for that. But she's real proud of herself.
I do believe that there is. She's getting some phone calls for noise contamination from the. Oh, there's a cat. Sweet.
Oh, yeah. That's
my cat.
Well, I just had it. I'm like, what is that behind him?
It's an apparition.
Nothing behind
him.
All right.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, I don't have any more clown questions for for Ty.
No. It's obviously
a PTSD. We should try that day, like therapy for paranormal investigators.
I will attend his clown therapy if you ever go.
I'm all set.
Damn it.
I don't need therapy. They're disgusting and useless. I don't really see the need to figure out why.
I was going to say, come on. They're not disgusting.
Absolutely.
There's an intervention, right? We'll do an intervention, and we'll hold it at the Clown Hotel in Nevada.
There's a clown hotel.
Yeah. Every couple weeks, people like send me, like, everyone thinks they're the first person to send me the clown hotel image.
Postcard. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody sends it to me and they're like, did you know about this? No, I've never heard about it. You're the first person to send me the clown hotel. This has never happened before.
Well, she didn't know.
So well, I'm not questioning Carol. Like, this, I've learned to just go with it.
Okay. So, that's enough fun for right now. So the Haunt Me series, how did that come about? Because I'm assuming you guys were a paranormal team before the show.
Kinda, actually. It's weird. It's an amalgamation of a bunch of different talents. Carol and I think what I was saying before the clown showed up was that I joined a team Carol was on shortly after I got out of college because I wanted something unique to do, and it always really interested me. And so we were on the acronym team for a little bit. And then when that disbanded, we kind of just had nothing. We had no other output. With that, Ashley Brooks was actually the one who said, let's make a show.
Well, we had actually taken her on one of our investigations with our old group. Mm-hmm. I think it was for her birthday. And she had had a blast. And thinking back on that, one time, at least she told me, she's like, yeah, I thought since that night, you know, I really want to start a group of my own or with my own friends.
Yeah, which we were like, yeah, it'll never happen. You right. know, there's no point. And then we kind of sat down and we had this conversation where our friend had just graduated from NYU film school. And she was like, let's not just do a group. Let's make a show. Mm-hmm. To which I was like, that's even more impossible. But then we met like-minded people who had completely different skill sets from us, like Katie Webb, who mm-hmm. was very much into magic, and I was completely tech-oriented. We bought a night vision camera from Toys R Us. It was the Spy Kids night vision goggles. Yeah. It could record 30 minutes of night vision video before it aired out. And so our entire first season was filmed with home vision cameras that had no viewfinder. So you had to guess where you were pointing. Mm-hmm. And then if you were really special, you got the binoculars that could record 30 minutes worth of audio and video. And we pieced together an entire season of a web series.
It's crazy when you think back on it.
Right. Yeah. That was it.
Oh, my God.
And that's Haunt Me Season 1.
That right there is a hell of a story, I just got to say.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The Toys R Us, Spy Kids, night vision goggles.
That's why I tell people when they ask, you know, questions of like, what would you tell people who are just getting started? It's just freaking do it.
Just figure out a way to do it.
Exactly.
Like he said,
you're not going to have the vision. You're not going to have the best tools. You're not going to have the best toys, but it's all still out there waiting for you. And if you care enough, you can make something happen.
And work your way up. Yeah, for sure.
It's definitely not like the best quality of anything ever. The first season is even like the structure of it's based off of Taps. We had no idea what we were doing, so we were just trying to mimic the pros. And mm-hmm. then we kind of really got our wind and wanted to make something on our own. And then the tools came after that, and it is what it is today. Moving on to season 5 next month.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. I think that's wonderful for you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And then like a follow-up question for that. I saw that not, you know, that you obviously have your web series, but then it's also on a local public access yep. channel in Maine. So was that a simultaneous kind of thing, or did the web series start first and then somebody noticed it and invited you or gave you access to the public access channel, or yeah. how did that go?
So it's kind of worked mm-hmm. as a snowball effect. We started our show. And then a local main talent network called the Entertainment Experiment found us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they kind of sucked up a bunch of local main talent, whether it be web series, radio shows, comics. It just was a hub for people in Maine being creative. And so we gladly joined on with them. And from their influence and their expanse matched with everything that we were doing, trying to network and market, mm-hmm. A bunch of different local stations picked us up. And then from there, it was neat because I think like even local access TV is the great validator. And so all of these people, like Carol has a story about her relatives, even like never watched this on the web. Oh my God,
I have two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, we had a close friend of the family. His dad, him and his dad are close to the family. His dad was having heart trouble, so he's sitting in the hospital after some heart work, and he's just watching the, you know, flipping through the channels, and he sees us. And he calls his son. He's like, I'm watching Carol on TV. And so then they get a hold of my parents. They get a hold of me. They're like, you know, he's watching you while he's sitting in the hospital. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so weird. And then my daughter's great aunt just, she was like, I couldn't sleep. So I was flipping through the channels and I noticed Haunt Me and I started watching it. And it made me get online and watch the rest of, you know, what I had missed. And
It's funny too, because I've had cousins do the same thing, and I always tell them, I was like, yeah, they're like, oh, I can't wait until Thursday, you know, there's another new episode I saw that's on at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's also all online right now. Like, so like, you can wait until Thursday, but if you go to haunt-me.com, all four seasons are literally sitting there for mm-hmm. free for you.
Yep.
Or you can watch one next week, you know, like whatever you want. Just enjoy it. So
great.
Yeah, no. I think if my family were flipping through their channels and saw me, I'd probably get a text the next day. Like, yeah, I saw you on TV, but this show is on, so I flipped it to that.
Yeah, I do expect that sometimes from my parents, but
yeah, they would be like, how often is that on? Because you know, you could probably do it better.
It was all right, but you know,
it's not on during prime time.
that would be
on, and you know, that Wheel of Fortune was the Hawaii island edition. So I love you, but I had to flip the channel. Sorry,
I love you, but you know, Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
Love me some Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. It sounded like you were about to ask something. I cut you off.
No, you're good.
No. Perfect.
Yep.
How long does it take you to do one episode?
Oh, one episode. That's a difficult question.
Yeah.
I would say,
on average,
God, I can't even answer that. It takes, so we've only filmed one night per episode. So all the filming is just, there's no like movie magic like some of the other shows that compress it. It's just one night in our lives. That's what we do. But to edit that, we film all summer and fall, and then we edit all winter and spring. And so it's a continual cycle of creation there. And so Nick Nordfors is the producer. So he edits everything and he lines up the shots that we need to get and the interviews and everything like that. But as far as like planning, you know, I do a lot of that in the spring with the team, and we haul kind of like morph our roles continually throughout the year. So I would say one episode take one night of filming and 1 month of post-production. And then we usually do between 6 to 8.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, cause we're not going to dwell on this because I can get off into the whole promo for our own thing, and that's not what we're here for.
Oh, go for it.
But Dave and I are also
don't let him get started on that.
I'm not going to get started. I said we're not here about us, but I have a question. I want to give him context as to why I'm asking.
No, that's fine. No, because Ty said go ahead and roll with it. And I'm like no, don't give him the rein. No, because it'll be like we'll be ending at 7:50. So, Dave, did you have any other questions for us? We got 3 minutes left in the show.
So, no. We're going to interrupt my tangent for commercials, then I'm going to be back to talk some more.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so Dave and I are also creating a show about the training that goes into making a paranormal team. And so the reason why I'm asking is I have to do all the editing and whatnot myself. And you can really tell that it's done by me, and because I have no training whatsoever. So, and I'm using an $80 video pad program in order to do it. What program do you guys use to do your editing and your effects and whatnot for your, like your, the K2 stuff, you know, K2 equals green.
Oh yeah, so Nick edits all that in just Final Cut, and so that's what he studied with in college.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Now, who is in? Obviously, it's the team, but who else is in the location doing the filming? Just the one cameraman?
We sometimes have like between two and three, right?
Yeah,
sometimes so, four if yeah, Krista's in.
It's usually me, no, Johnny Speckman, Anna Halloran, Aaron Cross are the main cameramen.
Right.
With Nick, who's the producer.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it is we have some other people that can like swap in, like Krista Rial. And besides that, it's pretty skeleton. We used to have a ton of people that were swapping in and out all the time, but.
We also didn't really have like a routine set down. That was like back in the day where we were kind of scrambling, like, hey, we got this place locked down. Who can be our camera people, you know, type thing. And right. I met a lot of people from Ty's work.
Yeah, that's true. Like season one and two was a lot of people that wanted to go on a ghost hunt and were savvy enough to hold a camera.
Yeah,
and
can you hold the camera steady?
Can you walk backwards?
Yeah, walk right. backwards, keep it on my face. A lot of right. the back of the head shots because they didn't want to go first in that season, but now they're doing it just fine.
Cool. Yeah. The first episode that we tried to do, we gave the camera to one of the brand new investigators. And it was literally like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like he would just pan to a blank wall for like 30 seconds.
No.
And this is like during like things that are happening. And then, what are you doing?
Oh, no,
I can't even use that shot. And yeah, it was terrible.
Oh no.
So we were like, he's never allowed to touch the camera recorder again. And I don't know if he has. Have we?
No, he is not. No, no. He went from the camera to the FLIR, and after he majorly failed with the FLIR, he was banned. So it's yeah.
Did he just try to like record farts? Is that what?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's funny. Like that's funny.
Although
that's the first thing I tried. What are you talking about? Of course,
didn't we get it?
Ground footed. Yes, it was ground footed. You know?
Yeah, ground to the ceiling. You know, like, you just hold it up like that. Nobody really cares. It's just hold. What are you saying? You know, it's
put it over your shoulder. You know, shoot it at a light for 45 minutes. You know,
it's funny to make fun of, but at the same time, there's got to be said for something. These people out in the field that do it flawlessly, because it's got to be human nature when paranormal activity is occurring and it's horrifying to just release focus. And when you that, the camera's going to go down at your feet and you're going to watch the threat that's in front of you so you can get ready to run. And so we have I just have to like thank our camera people.
Oh my God.
Not only will hold the scene, but their back is facing towards the thing that we're staring at and too afraid to walk towards.
And some of these people were started out skeptics. So I have all the more respect for them for getting, you know, the shit scared out of them and keeping the camera held, you know? Like, some of them do not see this stuff coming. When most of us would be, like, prepared for it, I don't know, and I'd say in the first two seasons, some of our camera people would go in and be like, oh, I'm not really scared, I don't really believe in it, you know, kind of thing. But then they'd get touched or something would brush up against them, and then, you know, their world would be kind of rocked. But they wouldn't lose focus.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would you say is the biggest reactors, the skeptics or the paranormal when stuff happens?
That is a great question.
I don't know. I've seen I don't know.
I would throw it out there that they're different reactions because I'm a reactor. I am like a mega reactor. Who I like to try to stay as skeptic as possible, but I can move that line a little bit of what I believe in to accommodate the things that are actually happening in life. Mm-hmm. So I'll react that way. But I think some of the biggest reactions you'll get is from the skeptics who are unable to move that line.
Yes.
And when that line breaks and their reality crumbles is when you see some of the most violent reactions, yeah. because it's not just experiencing something that's unexplainable. It's creating a new worldview while you're stuck inside a haunted house. And that is dangerous. So, yeah.
Have you ever had I don't want to say a skeptic, but have you ever had a cameraman like run?
Yeah. Remember the dormitory that we did, the Hillside Hall is what it was called. There was a young lady that was helping us out in her spare time during season two. Yeah, you remember this one. It was daylight. We were just setting up cameras. We were actually down in the basement because it was so hot upstairs that the basement was the only like cool spot of this Victorian three-story home that had been converted into dormitories, then back into a giant mansion. And so apparently they were on the third floor setting up a camera in the master bedroom. And with that, I'll back up. We were downstairs in the basement when they came downstairs dead faced. and they were like, I'm going home, just plain as day. And we're like, well, we're not done setting up. And she goes, I'm done. And that we're like, well, what's going on? And she goes, something was in that room with me. And she didn't believe in this stuff at all, which is why she came to help out, because she was being a good friend. Mm-hmm. She goes, something was in that room with me. I felt it, and then it knocked on the wall, and I'm done. And then that was the last episode she ever helped out on, period. Mm-hmm. And that was 3 years ago. And so it was just kind of like this moment where it was like, okay, well, yeah, mm-hmm. there's a skeptic having a little come to Jesus moment that maybe we're not alone.
Do you think that there are some spirits who enjoy doing that? Like, they know that this person is a skeptic and will probably react that way?
Or that, or just they know to, you know, they'd be able to feed off fear, maybe. I don't know. There could be all kinds of, really all kinds of reasons, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was really interesting, especially for that person, mm-hmm. to probably already a little bit afraid, but already, you know, I don't know. There has to be an opening at some point, because then you have skeptics that when stuff does happen to them, it goes right by, and mm-hmm. and they can explain almost anything away. And, you know, like our main technical producer, mm-hmm. I think he could get slapped in the face by a ghost and like, just, you know, sit back and sip his coffee and it would never, nothing would ever happen to him. So you need to have like a little bit of an opening, because if you're completely closed off, you can levitate across the room and blame it on swamp gas. And that,
honestly, the most I've ever been afraid is when our main technical producer, I can't give it away where we were, because it'll be coming out soon, but we were somewhere and he was setting up the lighting for interviews after the investigation. And he looks at me and goes, I heard a noise right about where you're standing. And I'm like, what?
What?
You heard something? You're telling me?
Ugh. We need to leave now.
Oh, God.
So that's interesting. So when you guys go to the four of you, when the four of you go to an investigation, I know it's only the two of you here, but so when the four of you go to an investigation or go to a site or whatever and you're filming, do you get scared?
Oh, me all the time. Oh my God, yeah. There's not like I'm not even slightly brave. That's not even a question.
Do you think that, okay, so do you think then, okay, I'll get right back to Carol, I'm sorry. So no, Ty, do you think that that's part of the, like part of the show that people connect with?
I don't know, maybe.
I do.
You do? Let's pan to Carol.
Well, no, I really do. I think that just even when he's, you know, freaking out, everybody freaks out, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you're freaking out silently or not. I think that a lot of people can relate to us, you know, when they watch Ty. I think he's very relatable.
Okay.
Well,
I was wondering that. Yeah, I was going to say, so part of that charm and part of that like charisma on the show is the fact that you legitimately, that's not fake for you. I mean, you're legitimately like, holy shit, that just happened.
Yeah.
And your facial reaction and your emotional reactions are legit.
Yeah, I would say that it took me the first season to get used to the fact that there's a camera pointed in your face. But now it's like I don't generally notice it, as weird as that sounds. Yeah. And so
well, you're able to focus way more on your surrounding than the camera looking at you, because it is uncomfortable at first. But once you we're so close with the tech. We know what we're there for by now. And
yeah, there's like a moment in the trailer, which you guys, if you watch, I think the trailer's coming out next month for the season, where our producer was kind enough to drop in a fun little moment of a REM pod surprising me, and I painted the sky blue. So none of it. It's all just me dealing with the fact that it's dark and I'm scared at any given moment.
Okay. And Kira, and getting back to you. So what about, like, are you legitimately freaked out by some of that, or is it more just, more for part of the, you know, like the, are you guys scripted at all? I guess is kind of where I'm going with that.
Never,
to an extent.
Never. Ever. Okay. In fact,
she can't.
If we run the bloopers sometimes, I will prove to you we're not scripted.
We have like bullet points.
I can't even speak normally when they just ask me to tell what just happened. I had just experienced.
The best part is, like, again, in the early seasons, the interviews that we would have, the producer would be like, okay, so this happened last night. Let's recap. In order to show this scene, I need you to help me transition it by saying X. And Carol can't.
I can't.
Now it's just like, you know.
So much easier now.
Drop a camera on her and like.
Carol, what happened last night?
What happened? Just freaking go.
Then I go into it. But another thing that our producer does whenever he can, it depends on the location, but it's most of the time we'll show up and he'll already be there and he'll be like, none of you go past this line because the camera crew is setting up and I want you guys to have your actual reaction when we do the walkthrough. You know, he's very set on having our actual first reaction even in the walkthrough. So we do. We'll sit in the parking lot, mess around, we'll wait just so we can get our natural reactions.
It's massively frustrating when, like, the bottle of water is within the haunted house and you have
to sit
outside.
Oh my god, yeah.
Something like that.
Food's inside.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, I was just saying, because you gotta go to commercial.
Yeah, I know. I looked at the time and I was like, we gotta sneak a commercial in here before we continue, so.
Time definitely flies.
You wasted all that time on the clown.
Oh, no. There was no wasted time during that entire segment.
Oh, to each their own.
All right. So you're listening to the Odyssey Files here on Para-X, and we'll be right back with Ty Gowan and Carol Cleveland.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para-X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para-X Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para-X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere,
Thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
And we're back. And Dave managed to finish a sentence right before I hit that button.
Miracles to happen.
Thank you.
As first time
listeners to the show, Ty and Carol, Dave has a humongous knack of just continuing to talk as I come back on the air.
That's part of who I am, man. That's my signature. So,
and there's most of the time, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, obviously, we have our guests, and they know that we're chatting with them. We're not just going to sit here for like 2.5 minutes and stare at each other. even though the first time that I was a guest on a show, I literally had to do that. Like, we couldn't make a sound during the commercials.
So rough. Well, the worst part is when they don't tell you one way or another. We've had one of those where it's like, what, 3 minute commercial break, and we just kind of stare at each other and we don't breathe. But that's also the time when you like really need to pee. Yep. And so you can't make any life choices during that 3 minutes.
No.
Well, if you guys need a bathroom break, just raise your hand and
we're good.
We'll excuse
you. Oh, sorry, bathroom. I said pee. I apologize.
This is a family show, Chai.
I know, right?
Potty. You can use potty. You can't say which one it is, though. You just have to go potty.
That's too specific and too grotesque for those children listeners who are staying up listening to ghost shows at 8:41 on a Monday night.
Correct.
We are actually very popular with the 7 to 14-year-olds.
So. Ooh! Can we talk about Taylor Swift, then?
No.
God, her new album, though, oh my god.
No. Well, see, Taylor Swift is a sore spot with me because during an investigation we did, we were up in a ballroom. And so we were like, hey, would you like to maybe hear some Beethoven and stuff? Because it was an old historic place. And then one of my investigators figured, well, why don't we show them what music is like and nowadays. And so we played him Taylor Swift. And I wasn't for it, but I let him do it.
Dude, Wildest Dreams is one of my jams. Love that music video. Love that song.
Yuck.
Warm summer night with the window down, driving your car real slow. Taylor Swift. Love it.
Wow, you have this down to like a night almost.
I know my Tay-Tay.
I know my Tay-Tay. I will never forget you just said that.
Put that on a shirt.
I am serving up realness to their demographic right now, Carol.
All right. Dave has questions.
We are on
which
a
I'm
tangent.
Assuming do not revolve around Taylor Swift.
Ghost hunting? We want to talk about ghosts again? Let's go. Let's talk about
back to seriousness.
My question isn't actually about ghosts, but it is about your show. It is about your show. Even though I read it online, for people who have not looked at your website, tell me about your rating scale that you guys utilize, because that's kind of a unique thing. All right. So I'm going to put these two questions together. So tell us about your rating scale, and then tell us about, is your rating scale meant just for you, just for your team, or is it meant for others who might want to go to some of these locations and what they can expect based on the numbers that you provide?
Great question, Dave. And here comes the answer. We decided that when we started out Haunt Me 5 years ago, that we wanted to not just do a show, we wanted to also provide like a public service. So that answers part two of your question, is that no, the rating's not just for us, it's for anyone going to these places, which we normally try to do as many public locations as possible, to have a frame of reference of what to expect when they go in there to help them yield better evidence and be more prepared. Part one, the reason why we came up with the rating system is because, like we said earlier in the interview, we only spend one night in any one of these locations. These locations are hundreds of years old, and so we kind of agreed that it's completely unfair for us to be listing whether a place is haunted or not solely on our own experiences, because one night in a 3-century-old farmhouse is a speck of dust in the line of time. So that's why we created the rating system. So there's always a pre-rate, which is based off of experiences of the people who invited us, past claims, as well as any evidence or historical lore that we're able to capture before we go in. Then after we experience the night there on our own, anything we captured gets a post-rate score. The end of the episode always has us averaging those two together so that our night there confused with the history itself, which gives the final haunt me rating on the scale for any given location that we go to.
That is a very concise answer.
Thank you, sir.
He's ridiculous.
Thank you, Dave. You are the absolute first person who has ever asked him that.
That
in a conversation format, I might be, Michael.
I appreciate that you asked both parts of the question that I was wanting to get to anyway. That was an excellent question. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Dave.
Well, after the show, Dave is going to send you an article about the Clown Hotel. So you might know.
No, I am not. No, that's your job.
I'll act like you're the first person to ever show me that too, because people seem to like that.
Yeah, thanks. I love sarcasm. I can't even tell you how much if this wasn't a family show, I would share with you how much I love sarcasm.
There are a few choice words that he would like to use.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess the rest of my questions, I'll just table them, Mike. Why don't you go ahead and run with it?
Why? No, ask.
I'm joking.
Team Dave, that was a great question.
No, I know. I don't know it was a great question, but I appreciate it. So,
I thought it was. I really did.
Yeah.
Most people stumble into it. You asked both all right, things that I wanted to say.
Yeah, we never really get to explain that much detail.
Right, and that's why when I was looking at it, I mean, like I said, I read it on your website, obviously, and I looked at it, and I'm like, well, you know, it's pretty cool. It's something unique. I don't see it anywhere else, really, you know. So let's follow up with that then. So I haven't had the opportunity to watch every single episode over the last 4 years, but you go from a scale of 1 to 10, obviously. Yep. What is your, can you share with us, like, have you ever gotten, like, I've watched 4 episodes and the highest rating of the 4 episodes I watched was like a 6 or a 6. And a half or something like that. So have you ever gotten close to 10?
We got 10 last year.
You did get a 10 last year?
Got a 10 last year.
And that's like physical harm and... Let me see real quick. I jotted it down. So it's like massive spirit energy and potentially life-threatening situations.
Dude, I love that you know that. So again, no sarcasm. I'm really saying that that's awesome that most people just go, why did you use big words? So that's usually what we're used to. So the fact that you actually know what the rating scale is, right. I'm really appreciative for that. We did get a 10 last year, and I'm not going to spoil it, because it would be awesome if you checked it out and saw why for yourself, but it's the season finale of season 4.
Okay.
We had to amend the rating system because it was a different kind of 10.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
So season finale of season 4.
Yep.
All right. I'll watch it tonight.
It was really cool for us because it's a 2-parter. We went 4 years using this rating scale, looking for the biggest, baddest, and most intense places ever, looking for that blood row number 10. And then we found it in the strangest, most wonderful way possible.
And then you realize that the scale isn't so black and white, 1 to 10, really. It is a different 10 that we ever expected. Oh, hi, Kitty.
And that was absolutely... It was a life-changing moment that really changed my outlook on paranormal investigation in general, because of that 10 that we got. Changed everything for me, which will feed into season 5 this year very, very strongly.
Cool. That's very cool. I got bit. That's why I brought him up here.
Oh, okay. The cat.
He's angry about something. He came up and jumped on my leg and attacked me because I was like bouncing my foot, I think, and then he bit my leg, and so I figured I might as well let him say hi, so...
I appreciated it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. His cat's a really big attention seeker.
He is a big attention
seeker. I was going to use another word, but
This is a family show, and you'll have
this
to excuse yourself.
It's so hard now.
All I can think about are the words I can't say.
I know.
I'm being very good.
You are, and quiet.
I'm being polite.
So we only got about 10 minutes left. So in your – this is something that I've kind of just gotten into wanting to do with all of my guests – and it's get their impression, especially with you being a paranormal team for many years now. What do you think of like the state of the paranormal field now? Do you like the direction it's headed, or do you think it's becoming more of an entertainment type system of exploitation or otherwise?
I personally, to sum up what I think it definitely goes, in my mind, 50-50. You can look around and you can see a lot of egos. You can see a lot of that. But then we've been meeting some really, really cool, open-minded people that have opened our eyes to so many different ways of doing things and taught us so much that I think something big and positive is happening. Even if you do see all that egotistical entertainment stuff, there is behind closed doors, if you don't see it, there are big things happening.
I think it's weird to be in this field and see almost like an awakening on the horizon.
Yes, that's it.
We're from our own travels, the people that we've met, the good people that we've met.
Right.
There's something next. There's something more than ghosts out there.
Like you said, an awakening. People seem to be waking up.
Exactly. And I think that that's the most positive thing possible for this field.
Do you believe that, cause you're a tech person, Ty, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you and I should talk about that, cause I am too. Do you believe that it will be a piece of equipment that, you know, let's say Bill Chappell, you know, develops or something like that will kind of leap us forward or let us break that barrier? Or do you think it'll be something more spiritual?
I think it'll be an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to leap us forward. Without a doubt, it can't be one or the other, without the existence of both together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's incredible the stuff that I've been able to catch on tech. And then just in the past few seasons, seeing how much more I've been able to document and more importantly, interact with because, I've been open to Katie's metaphysical practice, when I was discounting it, I was missing the heart of what was going on. I was cataloging great stuff, but I was missing why. And so it was me coming into it with an open mind and an open heart to try to see what it all means together that is really pushing us forward.
Do you think maybe sometimes equipment gets in the way?
I think the need to use it gets in the way when sometimes some of the best thing that you can do to help a situation and learn more is to sit there and be in it. I think, you know, have an audio recorder going at all times so you can take things home with you and study it later, but you don't always need to be there only using it and missing out on everything that's happening that's not in your hand.
Yeah, take a minute to experience it and then look back at the equipment to validate.
The biggest point with that and the example that I give is I used to only care about EVPs. I love them and I was catching them and cataloging them and I had files on my computer of like the best ones, mm-hmm. the class A's, whatever that yeah. really means.
Yeah.
And I had pride in that. But it wasn't until I was realizing, again, the heart in the situation of what happens when you listen to an EVP 2 weeks and 500 miles later of a little girl asking for help. That you have truly missed the opportunity that was presented to you.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Do you guys ever, or I guess I'm in the same situation as Dave, where I have not seen every episode either.
We don't follow you.
It's okay.
Do you guys have any? You said you try to do public places as much as possible.
Yep.
Do you guys do private homes on your show?
Yep. We do. We have some special cases. It's just it's hard and it's there's a certain exposure factor that's attached to it that you really have to ensure a family is okay with.
Right.
So there are some places that we've gone into that are private residences because they knew the situation going into it.
Mm-hmm.
We help people off the show, absolutely, that reach out to us looking for help but don't want to have cameras on it. But there's been some cases that were so incredible, the family did want it documented, and that was kind of an exception that we made to go in there and highlight it. Because some of these personal cases that we've done have a trauma aspect to it that you don't want to exploit for a web series. Like there's nothing good that can be gained for the field or the family by exploiting a trauma. And so it's more like an educational piece when you go in to help those people. But then there's some places that we've gone to that are personal that were just mind-bending, and the family wanted that to be shown as well. So
yeah.
So I think I can think of three off the top of my head that were private residences that we've done. But most of the places that we've visited, you can visit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of the part of the beauty of it is you can follow our adventures and report back the adventures of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to stay in Maine, correct?
Ha! And that was the tease into season 5. We've stayed in Maine fairly well for 4 seasons, but season 5, it was time for us to kind of break our bonds a little bit. So you're going to get to see something special towards the end of the season.
Season 5 is going
to
be amazing.
It's.
Are you guys going to branch out to become Haunt Us?
No, there you go. That was my whole plan.
How did he know that?
I don't know. Did Center tell you that?
Someone tell you that?
No.
He's psychic.
There you go. That's our thing. And then do you know what happens when we go global?
I have no idea on that one.
It's Haunt You.
Haunt You.
Haunt Universe. There you go.
Use. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. I'm proud of you for getting the Haunt Us, though.
Yeah.
I'm real proud.
Yeah.
Most people miss the me. So, bravo on that.
Well, you know, and I was looking at that, and when she first proposed for you guys to come on, you know, I was like, well, Haunt Me. I'm like, okay, but both of them are, both the M and the E are capitalized, so I wonder if that's their state. And turned out that was the case.
My God, look at you, Mr. Geography.
I am the smart
as <S-R-T>. You.
perfect. Well,
I'm
then
still
with
Dave though, I'm just throwing that out there.
You still what?
He's still Team Dave because you really messed up with that clown.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about you, Carol? Are you Team Mike then, or are you Team Dave too?
He
has a cat. Remember,
I had better questions.
I do not have a cat.
Don't do this to me. Stop.
I have better jokes.
I didn't get a chance to do jokes. I was being serious because it's a show.
No, I understand. It's just I'm trying to see that if it's a unanimous decision that Dave's the better man here, or if it's a split decision. I can take a split decision.
I didn't even have to think about it for 1 second.
All right.
Carol, I was just going to say, I was really we're running out of time, but I just wanted you to know that I really wanted to dig into your ET experience and what brought you into the paranormal field to see if there was like some kind of like I could help you, cope with some of that. So I'm just saying the empathy is pouring out of me. But, you know, you vote
as
with your heart.
He shakes a clown mask next to you.
Yeah, you vote with your heart. That's fine.
This is definitely a split decision. I like Thai Torment, but I also need that therapy. I don't know. I'm going to have to think on that.
If you just abstain for 1 more minute, they'll have to run commercials again.
Yeah.
No, but we are out of time. No, I don't want to get yelled at again. So,
And we didn't even get to my questions. I just want to say that. So, you know, we'd love, I'm kind of thinking I'd love to have you guys back because I had two really good questions that are going to be like at least a half a show just for two questions. So
imagine what you could have done with 15 minutes at the beginning.
No.
Well, I got interrupted by the terrorists over here. So, yeah.
All right, so we have to go because, again, I don't want to.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ty and Carol. We really appreciate it. Everybody have a good night.
Yeah, have a great night. Loved having you guys on.
Awesome. Bye, everyone.